I am very, very partial to the old hymns. I would never say that there's not some good songs being written today. There are. But I just wonder if they'll stand the test of times like the old hymns have. I just wonder if they'll continually speak to our hearts like the old hymns do. I love the old hymns. Please don't ask me to give them up, because I can't. I love to sing them. I love to hear you sing them. I love you ladies that turn to this old blue back hymnal that we have and sing from it. I appreciate that so much. The first chapter of the book of Job, 22 verses in it. I want to read these 22 verses for us. Most of the time when I preach a message, I have no idea what you need. Usually I preach a message because I need it. And so this message this morning, as usual, is to me. I need this message. And I trust if I do, then you do too. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect. He was blameless. He was upright. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. His sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell it." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in thy eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. What a statement this man made. How devastating he must have been. What a stressful and sudden trial came upon him. And it came suddenly. And no doubt it was devastating. Job got this news, one messenger after another. He went and sifted through the rubble, found his children crushed under the beams of the house, washed them, clothed them, and buried them. Seven sons and three daughters. He took his servants, those that had been slain with the sword, those that had been burned with the fire, and he burned them. He goes home and sits down probably in his backyard, takes his robe and tears it, and he sits down on the ground and he worships. Isn't that amazing? The Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And for all the reasons that we could find in this book that such a trial came upon this man, one, no doubt, is for us. Through all the ages, there have been men and women who have lost, who have been devastated by their loss. And they, like Job, have sat before the Lord, and they have said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. How many broken hearts have found comfort in these words of Job? And that's one of the reasons that the Lord put Job through this trial, is that you and I, in the time of our awful loss, may know how to worship the Lord. The Bible says that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. This is for our learning. The Lord gave. That's written for our learning, isn't it? What can we learn from that? And the Lord hath taken away. We can learn something from this. So I want us to look this morning at Job's statement and see what we can learn from this short little statement that he made. First of all, I want to look at this first portion of this verse. The Lord gave. The Lord gave. What does this teach us? Job was a rich man. He not only had 10 daughters or 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had donkeys. He had camels. He had sheep. He had servants. He had property. He had houses. What can we learn when Job said, the Lord gave? Well, first of all, we learn this, that all we possess comes from the hand of a giving God. Everything that you have this morning comes from the hand of a giving God. The Lord gave. Everything that you and I this morning have spiritually, it comes down from the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. God gave us a perfect Savior, did He not? Who gave His precious atoning blood. He then gave us His Holy Spirit to call us and grant us repentance, to give us faith, to implant within our souls all His graces. What perfect gifts the Father in heaven has gave us, these spiritual gifts. But Job's statement teaches us even more than that, doesn't it? He's not so much speaking here of spiritual gifts, but he's speaking of these earthly gifts. He's speaking of these temporal advantages. And he said, in them, he said, the Lord gave my 10 children that I love dearly. God gave them to me. My servants that are now gone, the Lord gave them to me. All the camels, all the sheep, all the oxen, the Lord gave them to me. The property that I have, the house that I have, the Lord gave me these things. The Lord hath gave. What Job never said here, I think, is very telling. Job didn't say, I worked hard for all of these things. I spent some long days and anxious nights acquiring all of these possessions. Job took an inventory of everything that he possessed, and he looked at it and he said, this is all a gift of God. The Lord gave. It's the same with me and you this morning, brothers and sisters. Some of the things that we possess are absolutely necessary to get along in this life. Our food, our shelter, our clothing. And who gave us these things? Others are for comfort. The others are for pleasure. The others are for enjoyment. But whatever you have this morning, and however it aids you in this life, who gave you that? You must sit with Job and say, the Lord gave. Sometimes they're for our comfort. Sometimes they're for our enjoyment. Sometimes they are to share with others. But whatever you have, the Lord gave it to you this morning. The Bible tells us that we brought nothing unto this world. Absolutely nothing. We didn't even bring a breath with us unto this world, did we? Where did we get our first breath? The Lord gave. He's the one that gave us the heartbeat in our mother's womb. He has clothed us. He has fed us. He has given us everything that we need and require in this world. From the time you came naked out of your mother's womb to whatever you have today, you'll have to say with Job, the Lord gave it. The Lord gave it. That's a good lesson to learn, isn't it? That's a very good lesson to learn. What's the second lesson we can learn from Job's statement, the Lord gave? Not only does the Lord give, but He gives in a way that is absolutely undeserving. In a way that's absolutely unmerited. They are undeserved when we first receive them, and we never reach the point where we deserve to keep them. Job never said that he was worthy of these blessings. He never said that he had earned these blessings. He never said, I've been so careful with these things, and therefore I don't deserve to lose them. If Job had deserved these possessions, the Lord would have been unjust and taken them from him. But He took them from him because they were the Lord's to begin with. He loaned them to Job, and when it pleased the Lord, He took them back for His own reasons. I know a dear couple. I've known them now for decades, and they had a little baby. And when the baby was born, its nerve system didn't have the coating on it. And they couldn't touch the baby. They had to be so careful with her. She couldn't feed herself. She couldn't bat her eyes. She couldn't clothe herself. She lived 8 years and almost every day was in pain. All she could do was let little tears run down her eyes. That's the way she was born. That's the way she lived. That's the way she died. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you this question. Do you and I deserve any more than that young child? We haven't deserved the thing the Lord has given us, have we? All that He gives us comes in a way that is unmerited. Even in this natural and temporal realm, in this world, the things that we see, we do not receive them because we deserve them, neither do we keep them because we deserve them. It's all a gift of our Lord. Now, how can we apply just these two things? And we could think of some more things with these, but how can we apply just these two things? That the Lord has given us all that we have, and He's given it to us in a way that we could never deserve to receive it and never deserve to keep it. How can we apply this? First of all, we can apply it like this. When we remember this, when we remember that everything we possess comes of our gracious giver, what does it do? It makes us thankful for what we have. If He gave it, and He gave it freely and undeservingly, we must be thankful. Some of you here this morning, you don't have near what some of the other of you have. Some of you have much more nicer things. You have more of them. But here's the thing that sweetens this whole thing. You're thankful no matter what you have when you remember who gave it to you. If you have little of it or you have a lot of it, you give Him thanks because you know you received it at His hands. David said, "A little that the righteous hath are better than the riches of many wicked." Why is that? Because the righteous know where they got it. And the righteous are thankful. And the wicked are like hogs under an acorn tree. They just gobble it up and go on about their business rooting and never realize where it came from. And when we live in the memory of that, we're more apt to be careful of what the Lord has given us. We should never use what the Lord has given us for sinful means. Not when we remember it come from His hands. Do you think Job would have went out and sought a contract with a group that worshipped in an idol's temple, saying, "I can supply you with sacrifices"? He'd have never did that, would he? His conscience would have smote him to think about such a thing. His heart would have broken. Why? The Lord gave me those oxen. Nothing that we have, brothers and sisters, should be used for sinful means since He gave them to us. Our Lord sent His servants out one day to bid those to come to the feast. He said, "I've prepared my fatlings, my dinner is ready, come, come to the marriage, come to the feast." And what did they say? One man said, "Please have me excused, but I've bought 5 yoked oxen. I got to go try them." Another man said, "I bought some land and I can't come. Please have me excused." Another said, "I married a wife and I can't come. Have me excused." And what did those men do? They took the very things that God had provided for them and blessed them with and turned it to their own hurt, using it as an excuse not to come to the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't let anything the Lord has given you hinder you from the worship of God. Don't say, "I would pray, but oh, I've got too much to do. I've got to do this. Don't say I would read my Bible. I would take time to meditate, but I've got this pressing on me. What's pressing on you? Is it something the Lord has provided for you? Then don't let that gift interfere with your worship of Him that gave it. See what I'm saying? Be thankful. Why? Because He gave it to you. Don't let anything come between it and your Lord, because He gave it to you. When we remember that the Lord gave us all that we have, you know we won't look down our nose upon those that He's not given to. It seems to me as I read the Scriptures, the Lord is a discriminating giver. You can't help but see that as you read the Scriptures. Some have so much. Some have so many temporal advantages. The others don't. Some are born like my friend's little girl. Some are born that can't speak or can't see. They have nothing. Others have abundance of things. But let those who have abundance of things given to them, don't look down upon those who don't. Because it was given. I love that passage, and I know Paul was speaking in a spiritual sense when he said, what do you have but what you've received? What do you have this morning, brothers and sisters, that you've not received? Anything? And speaking in a spiritual sense, what do you have that you've deserved? What do you have that you've earned? No spiritual gift have you. Now, if you've not earned it, and you don't merit it, but you've simply received it, Paul said, why are you glorying as though you have earned it? I tell you, when we realize that the Lord has given us everything we have, and it's not in a way of something He saw in us, or some desert on our part, but He freely gives us these things, when we realize that, we won't judge others. We won't look down upon others. Let me ask you a question, a spiritual question this morning. When the Lord chose His people, when He wrote all the names in the book of life that He was going to save, if He put your name in there, why did He put it in there? Can you find anything in you as a cause of Him choosing you? When the Lord Jesus gave His heart's blood upon Calvary, and you see Him suffering there, can you earnestly say, I deserve that? Oh, my soul, our hearts would smite us to even think about such a thing. And when you're going along living your life dead in sins, and the Holy Spirit comes to you, and He arouses you and makes you concerned, He gives you grace to believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Who made that difference? And why did He? Oh, you surely cannot say that, well, He looked at me and saw a difference. That I had made myself to differ. Oh, our faces would get red if we said such a thing, wouldn't it? And you know it's the same way in the temporal possessions. What we have in this world, everything that we possess, and our temporal advantages, who gave these things to us? The Lord gave them to us. And therefore we cannot look at those that He's withheld so much of this stuff from and look down our noses and be so prejudiced against them, can we? That's what we learn from this. Everything that we have is owing to the grace of God, is it not? I am what I am by the grace of God. I have what I have by the grace of God. Something else. When we remember that all we have received. It makes us willing. It gives us a willing heart to share what the Lord has given us. If I've earned it, and I got it through my labors and my wisdom, and I'm going to keep it that way, then we'll keep most of it. But when we see that it was given us as a gift from our God. A gracious, unmerited gift from our Lord. What do we say? Oh, I want to give some of this away. I want to share this with others. If I see a brother have need, I don't want to shut up my bowels of compassion. I want to help him. I want to share this. The Jews were required by law to give 10% of all that they had. We got better motives than that. We got love, don't we? Boy, that's a motive, isn't it? God is our example in giving. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave heaven's best. He gave His best. His dearly beloved Son. And Paul said, Christ gave Himself for me. Why? Because He loved me. Oh, grace isn't an example, isn't it? Oh, what a motive that you and I have for giving. Jesus Christ was rich. Had everything that heaven possessed and the earth was His. And yet He made Himself poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. What makes you want to share, doesn't it? They said, old Rolf Barnard, bless his heart, if anybody gave him anything before they passed the offering plate, it wound up in the offering plate. A guy came to him one night and said, Brother Barnard, I have this expensive watch and I've been thinking about you all day and I brought this watch to give to you. He gave it to Brother Barnard and there's passing the plate around. He threw the watch in the plate. The Lord gave. And when the Lord gives, and we know it, and we live in the memory of that, we won't try to hoard up. We'll give. We'll be givers, just like our Lord is a giver. Well, we got a precious promise too. I love what the Lord Jesus said when He was teaching His disciples to give. They didn't have very much. They were fishermen. They didn't have very much to give. But here's what He told them. This is the promise. Now listen to this. He said, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. When I was a kid down in Tennessee, we used to pick beans. That's one of the few ways down there we had making a little bit of money. And sometimes, some of us kids would get together, and we would pick beans in a bucket, then they'd put them in the big bags. And we'd put buckets in there, then we'd get on the beans and stomp them down. And then three or four of us would shake the beans down, and we would put so many beans in that sack that the man could hardly take them and stack them on the truck. That's what He's talking about here. Shaken down, running over, shall men put into your bosom, give into your bosom. What a motive to give. And the more you give, haven't you noticed this? The more you give, the more He gives you to give. I don't know if I've ever told you about this or not. And I'm going to tell you this to brag on, but I tell you this sometime. This amazes me. For decades now, it's probably been 30 years ago, I've started a little bank account down here, just a personal bank account. And I started it because I had a little bit of extra money. So I thought, I'm going to put it in this bank account. And that way I won't have to bother my wifey. When somebody needs something and I see it, I can just go ahead and get the money out. I started doing that. That's been probably 30 years ago. Everything I put in there has been given to me. And when I see somebody with a need, I just go get some out and give it to them. When the bank account starts giving low, I start watching. Lord, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do now? And out of the blue comes this money in. I go stick in the bank and just give it and give it and give it. Why? Because He gave it to me. And why did He give it to me? Well, He gave me that. Just give it away. And what a blessing that's been. Oh, give. Give. That's our example. When the Lord gives to you, give it away what you can. Wesley used to say, make all you can, spend all you can, save all you can. That's a good rule to live by, isn't it? And the Lord will just keep giving it. He'll just keep giving it. Because He's a giving Lord. The Lord gave. Something else, when we remember that all we have, we receive from the hand of this giving Lord, we learn to worship the giver and not the gifts. Well, when Job had plenty, when his pasture was loaded with stock, his servants were around him, his children were happy, he sacrificed unto the Lord and worshiped. When he lost everything, what did he do then? He worshiped. He rent his clothes and sat on the ground, and he worshiped. Whether the Lord gives us plenty or where He gives us little, we don't worship Him because of the possessions He gives us, and we don't stop worshiping Him when He takes them away. We worship Him. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't it a sad thing, brothers and sisters? Seems like our hearts are just a little manufacturing of idols. We take a child that the Lord gives us. And what do? Make an idol out of it. We take a job that He gives us and we make an idol out of it. We take a vehicle, we just make idols out of everything. And the only thing that will wean us from that is to remember, worship the giver and not the gift. That's the only way that we can enjoy the things of this world is to remember them. We can only enjoy God. We can only enjoy the things that God gives us as we enjoy Him. Here's the second part of Job's statement that we need to look at just for a minute. I think it's just a little more difficult, isn't it? The Lord giveth. Boy, we're all right with that, aren't we? And the Lord takes away. The Lord takes away. This is why it's so important for us to remember the first part of this statement and remember who gave us anything and everything that we had. We can't be bitter, can we? We can't be swallowed up in despair and sorrow when we remember that He's only taken what He gave us to begin with. Therefore, you and I should be thankful. Be thankful. But He's taken it away. But He gave it to us. We enjoyed it for a while. We often abused it. And since He's taken it away, we should be thankful for the time that He let us have it. I think I told you about the old circuit riding preacher that it was out preaching in another part of the country, and he had two little sons, twin sons. And while he was out preaching, the sons got some sort of a fever and both of them passed away. They couldn't get in contact with the dad, and they knew he was coming home, and the mother said, "Wait till he gets home and I'll tell him." And she kept an eye for her husband. And he was walking home. And she met him on the front porch. And she said, "Husband, I've got a story to tell you. A dear friend loaned me two beautiful rings. And he said, you can wear them for a few days, but you've got to give them back." And she said, "The time is up, but I don't want to give the rings back." And he said, "Sweetheart, give the rings back and be thankful." And she opened the door. And there lay the two sons in their caskets. And she says, "Husband, give them back and be thankful. Give them back and be thankful." And brothers and sisters, we got to remember that. If the Lord takes from you anything or everything that He's given you, be thankful. Be thankful. When we remember this, when the Lord takes away, when we remember there was a purpose behind our loss. He doesn't take anything from you, dear child of God, arbitrarily. He just doesn't look down and say, well, I'm just going to take this away. I don't really have any good reason for doing so. I just don't want them to have it anymore. Our Lord never does that. He gives on purpose, and when He takes away, He does it for a cause. And He does it for a good cause. Look over here with me, right quickly. You can leave Job, but quickly turn with me in the book of James, chapter 5. Here's how James explained this in James chapter 5. He talked to us about seeing the end of the Lord, the end of our Lord's purpose in dealing with us. Look how he says it here in James chapter 5, and look in verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering afflictions and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord. Here's the end of the Lord. Look at this. That the Lord is very, very pitiful and of tender mercies. What's the end of the Lord? What's His purpose in dealing with His children? You know what it is? To make your last end better than your beginning. You've seen the end of the Lord. We can't see it. So often we can't see it. We think the Lord has taken this away. The Lord's taken my spouse. The Lord's taken my property. The Lord's taken my health. Yes, but for what cause? If He did it, is it not a good cause, even though you can't see it? The end of the Lord. You know how the book of Job ends. Some of you do. But for some of you don't. Listen to this, chapter 42 and verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Isn't that amazing? How many times have you told a dear friend that's going through a dark trial, brother, it's going to be better. When the Lord brings you through this, it's going to be better. I know it's hurting you now, but it's going to be better. Just wait and see. I don't know how it may be better. I don't have the wisdom to say that and figure that out, but the Lord is wise. If He takes something from you and in its place gives you contentment, isn't that a good end? Nobody that would have been here on this day when all of this terrible news came to Job would have said, Job, it's going to be much better. Much better? I had it good. I had 10 kids. I had pastures full of flocks. I had servants. It's going to be better? How could it possibly be better? Because a wise and loving God's going to make it better. If losing what we have brings us to Job's conclusion, how happy we will be. You say, Bruce, what are you talking about? Well, in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, listen to what Job said. After he lost everything, finally lost his health, lost his confidence, lost his assurance, lost his friends, though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Boy, that's a good end, isn't it? He's taken everything from me, but my trust wasn't in those things. My trust is in Him. Though He slay me. You know how difficult it is to have riches and not trust Him. But it's tough, ain't it? trusting in uncertain riches. But Job had them all. And he says, I've never put my trust in those things. And here the Lord has brought me to the dust and He's slain my servants. He's slain my children. He's slain my health. And yet I will trust in Him. Well, Lord, if it's Your will, take what I have. If You'll bring me to this end to put my trust in You. When the Lord takes away, we must be as Job and put our hope in the Lord. Our trust and our hope. Here's what he said in the 19th chapter in verse 25. It's just unbelievable that he'd make this statement. But here he said in the ashes. He had these boils all over his body and he took an old posture and he broke it and he was scratching the boils. And he made this statement. I know my Redeemer liveth. Oh, what hope. I know my Redeemer liveth. And he says, someday, though the worms devour this body, in my flesh I shall see my God, my incarnate God, my Redeemer. And all the days will I wait till my change come. He's going to call, and I'm going to answer Him. Oh, Job looked to the cross, and he looked to the tomb. He looked to the Lord Jesus sitting on His throne, reigning. And then he looked to His coming again. And he said, oh, thank God, I've lost everything, but I ain't lost hope because my hope's in Him. Where's your hope? Where's your hope? I asked a dear friend of mine the other day, a Catholic friend of mine, very religious person. I said, where's your hope? What's the ground of your hope? He said, I don't know. You're facing eternity? What's it in? Is it in some of these silly things? Is it some pope on his throne somewhere? Is it in possessions? Is it in your health? Where's your hope? When you get in a dark valley and you can't put one foot in front of another, brothers, sisters, where's your hope? Is it in Jesus Christ? Is it in the Redeemer who now is in heaven? Is it in Him? Well, if it is, then the Lord brought you there. And no matter what else you lose, you'll never lose Him. That's comfort, is it not? I don't know what you and I might suffer before this life is over. What loss and sorrow and finally death. I don't know how much sin and sense will molest us before we come to our resting place. But I know this, if Christ is our hope, then it will be well. It will be well. And you can yet worship. You can yet worship. Five things quickly that the Lord has given His people, His children, the believer, that He will never take away. There's some things He gives and He's going to take them away, but there's some things He gives He'll never take away. He'll never take away Himself from you. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. And you know something? That'll never change. That'll never change. If you belong to Christ this morning, He belongs to you, that'll never change. He abides faithfully within. He cannot deny Himself. He'll never take from you, secondly, that eternal life that He has given. I give unto them eternal life. I'll never take it back. Those gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Is the life of Christ in you this morning? You'll never lose that. You'll never take it back. Thirdly, He'll never take away the graces of His Holy Spirit. I will give you another Comforter, and He shall abide with you for how long? Forever. Forever. And He's there with all of His graces of love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Those graces may diminish to the point That it's like a fire that just comes down to some coals that's just a little warm. But He'll never take His Holy Spirit from you. He'll never take His graces from your heart. Fourthly, He'll never take His precious promise from you. He's given you exceeding great and precious promises. And all of those promises are yea and amen. And no matter how cold you get, no matter how tried you are, go to the Bible and find these precious promises and grasp hold of it and don't let go of it. Or they'll be a help to you in your trials. And fifthly, He'll never take away that eternal inheritance that's reserved for you in heaven. He's give you that. He's reserved that for you. And someday you'll hear Him say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Whatever the Lord gives us, dear brothers and sisters, in the way of temporal possessions and promotions, let us praise Him for it. Let us praise Him for them. And when He takes them away, let us praise Him for it. Lord, we thank You, gracious Lord, merciful, merciful Lord Jesus. You are God. You are Lord, our Redeemer, our Creator, our Sustainer. You're all in all. You're everything. And truly, we found out this morning from Your Word that You give and You take away. We found it in our own experience, and I'm sure, Lord, Your children that are here this morning have found it to be so. But You have proved Yourself over and over and over to us again, that when You take, You always give something better. That's just the way You are. And in the end, we'll see it and we'll praise You for it. Bless this dear people. Lord, uphold this dear people. Please bless the work in this little place. Build Your house. Keep the city, or all will be in vain. Thank You for this day. Thank You for the beautiful songs of worship that we heard this morning. Thank You for the message. Thank You for the Bible reading and the prayers. Thank You for this dear people. And we look to You now, today, and tomorrow, and the days ahead. Don't let us fall. Don't let us bring shame on Your name. Don't let us grieve You. Don't let us hurt one another. Help us to leave this place and go tell the world that's around us and our neighbors, what great things the Lord has done. We'll praise You. We'll thank You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Any words before we go?
What a Savior.
What a Savior.